Champagne Dreaming, episode number 91. I get you dancing. Today's show is brought to you by Target, otherwise known as Tarjay. So what woman out there, hello, out there, doesn't shop at Target? Online shopping is the best. You know why? You can shop with no bra, in a messy bun, sweatpants, and a glass of champs. This week, we're going to save big at Target. Top promos include 40% off kids' swimwear. You better stock up because it's only for one day only. All BOGO products, that's 50% off women's jewelry, handbags, watches, wallets, as well as 40% off nursery and baby gear for all you mommies to be out there. If you're looking at an Apple Watch, save $70 at Target. Look, you could link to this week's deals and discounts from your mobile phone, or even your tablet, your desktop, whatever. I made it really simple, stupid for you. It's located right there in the show notes on your mobile phone, and you click the full description, and you're gonna see the Target shopping link. Chop, chop, chop! Welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening this week and every week. But I'm broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., and if you're joining for the first time, look, I help both men and women celebrate embarrassment in their lives. This is where I get both y'all to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. Frankly, you guys want it raw. Not only just raw, but you want real and raw, gripping, personal stories. I'm a firm believer that if we weren't taught ourselves, then we need to educate ourselves, which is where I come in. If you're a woman who's dying to know what other women are thinking, and if you're a man dying to know what other women are thinking, don't move because you're in the effing right place. So what time is it? It's time for some more scary, good, unfiltered conversations from both men and women about life, about relationships, about sex, about your sexual health, about stuff you're too shy, nervy, embarrassed to talk about. February is Girl Power Month. This is when I'm featuring Black female entrepreneurs. And today's episode, I have author Leah Janelle in her book, Champagne Dreams, Beer and Money. Girlfriend speaks her truth in her memoir of girl mistakes. Sound familiar? Isn't this something I talk about every week or every other week? All right. She wants people to never be ashamed of your story. And you know, most importantly, and what I advocate is to tell it. So take a pen with you on this journey, and this is what we want you to do. We want you to pen your own truth.
I'm honest about my story. And again, I just give them an opportunity to find their own truth. I give them a quote that they can reflect on. And I tell them in the beginning of the book, take a pen with you on this journey and write your own truth. Because I just want them to kind of see how, I don't think that there is anyone, any woman that would read this book and won't relate to something in it.
Right.
Every girl has been through something that I speak about in this book. And that's what I want. I want them to be able to find something that speaks to them, that relates to them, and can see where I made the mistake and they can avoid it.
So talk to me about the Don't Chase Boys.
Don't chase boys, chase dreams. Like, the boys are going to be there. They're not going anywhere. Trust me. When I left for Lincoln University, the guys that I was so attracted to that stood in front of the Spanish store were standing there every break that I came home. When I graduated, they were still there. If I go home to my old neighborhood now, they're right there. They're going to be there.
So as I always say, every woman has a story to tell.
And I decided to like sit down the whole summer and get my book finished that I've been working on for the past 4 years. And I was like, I want to have a conversation that people are not having. I want to talk about the real. There's so many young girls out here having the conversation with their friends and doing the things that they want to do. But you find yourself getting stuck and you don't have anyone to go to because mom and dad are like, don't do that. But they're not saying, don't do that because I already did it.
Right.
So I wanted to have that real conversation with girls and just say, I don't want to preach to you. I don't want to say don't smoke, don't drink, don't have sex, because everybody has to have their own experience. But what I do want to tell you is, here's what happened when I did it.
Right.
And this is how it turned out.
So listen up, as you will learn through laughter, you will learn through disappointment, you will learn through embarrassment. And Leah referred to her book as The Real. It meant sharing a topic or several topics that, again, you and I, men and women, just don't talk about. Are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
Leah, as a little girl, let's understand her and her army of soldiers who represented her strength.
Leah Janelle, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, two-parent home. I'm the oldest of five. And it's always been for me, I've always been taught to carry the family. I've always been taught to carry my sisters and brothers. No matter what you're doing, everywhere you go, you take your sisters and brothers with you. So I've always felt like I had this major weight on my shoulders to lay a foundation and set a path worth following. And it was very difficult for me because the things I wanted to do probably wasn't the best image or setting the best example for my sibling.
She became the girl everyone respected. In fact, she categorizes it as a tough girl, the B personality that she wasn't growing up.
Better herself. The aggression and the fighting, that's what she knew. That came second nature to her. That didn't come second nature to me.
You didn't ask for that.
But I think I did. I think I did. I think that I was a royal bee.
Instigator? Okay.
I wasn't an instigator. It wasn't about anybody else. It was anything that had to do with me. If I felt like somebody disrespected me or someone in my circle of friends, I had to be heard. You're gonna hear from Leah. Why? Why did you feel the need to be that girl?
Can you answer that? Why did you feel the need to be that girl?
I just never was her. I never knew what it was like to be the girl that people feared. I never knew what it was like to be the girl that everybody respected just because she was tough or because she had this stature that everybody just like. So I wanted people to see me in a light that I was just like, I hold it down, I hold my own. And honestly, I think I was scared. College was never the plan. I was cute. I was tall. I was thin. I'm going to be a model. I'm going to do some acting. And that's my plan. And my mother was like, no. You're going to go to this four-year college. You're going to get this degree. And whatever you want to do with those looks after school, we will fund it and we will support it. But you're going to school. But I think that I was scared.
She brands themselves as the Huxtables of the projects. Her parents were always there. They were the Huxtables of the projects who never missed a beat in the hood. That's where every child wants from their parents. So listen carefully to the great things that she has to say.
I took my parents to dinner and I sat them down. I was like, so there's some things you guys don't know about me. And it was really, really tough. It was tough because my parents have always been there. They never missed a beat. My mother, when my cheerleading coach quit, my mom became the cheerleading coach. And today, she's still the cheerleading coach of that team. That was when I was in the fourth grade. I'm 35. My mother's still the coach of that team. And my dad was the basketball coach. And they never missed a game. Anything that I ever did in life, they were there. Homecoming, freshman year, my parents were there when Little Kim was performing on the stage. So that's how devoted they were. So for them to be like, something for me to come to them and say there were things that happened that I didn't come to them with. They was like, no, we're the hip hop parents. We're the cool parents. You can talk to us about anything. But when you leave for college and your father sits you down and says, listen, you're going to have sex and you might get pregnant. And regardless of what happens, you come home and you bring that baby home. We're sending you back to school. Me and mommy got you. Whatever happens, we're going to look out. That stayed in my mind. I want to give my children what you were able to give to me. I don't want you guys to help me. So there were things that took place in college, fights and drama and just guys and my heartbreak, and I couldn't go to them. But
her dad, like any other daughter out there, set the foundation to her being. Amen, sister. Daddy B, I salute you.
Look, my dad didn't have the best growing up. My dad got into the streets at 14. So I knew it wasn't much that I could do that would disappoint him. But at the same time, I felt like he afforded me a life that I wanted to please him. And that was a big problem that I had. I just always wanted to please others. Even my friends, people next like that I grew up with, I didn't have as much confidence young. So I think that it all started with me not having that confidence. And that's where a lot of the mistakes came from.
Her real was revealed.
So when I took them to dinner, I basically told them the things that they didn't know. And dad was cool. He was like, yeah, okay. This is the real. And my mother cried. And it broke my heart because I felt like I was hurting her in a sense. But her only question was, where did I go wrong that you felt like you couldn't come to me? And I was like, you didn't. You were perfect. And to a point where it was almost too perfect that I was like, we got this low-key. We're the Huxtable of the project. Everybody comes to our house. And I was like, we had this image and it was so cookie cutter that I didn't want to fuck it up. I didn't want to mess it up. So I kept it quiet. So it all comes out in the book. And now my parents' friends are buying the book and they're like, how did you take it? And confidently, my mother's able to say, she talked to me about it. So I feel good that I was, and I even sat down with my pastor and I was able to tell him, like, I did some things.
The lesson is we all are a product of our environment. Whether it's one or two parents, it doesn't matter. Confidence is something she lacked at a young age. Sound familiar? It never goes away. Does it? The self-esteem issues, the thick girl growing up, Leah explains what that meant and why she wasn't that person.
But I was just there. I always felt just there. Like my father always like beautiful this and beautiful that, but I didn't feel like I was that to guys at school. I felt like my friends were always prettier than me. So what does Leah need to do to be noticed? So I think it had a lot to do with my parents. And it's funny because my mom can relate in that area. And because my mom was always thin. And she says that, like, still to this day, I, like, have a little, like, I don't really like showing my legs so much because my legs are so thin. And it's, like, the thing now to be super thin. But we never embraced that. That just wasn't us. I would have preferred to be the thick girl growing up. I don't want to be the super thin girl. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it started there with just appearance.
What was your first way of getting noticed? She had a crush. For her, it started at 15. He was a man who was in his 20s. He walked her into the start of womanhood. Her father created a standard, and it made her realize, look, I am beautiful. She then developed her confidence even more. And that's what Leah had to do to like herself, accept herself, and that's what she needed to do.
My very first boyfriend, which I talk about in the book, I was 15 and he was 20. And this is when everybody noticed me because it was like, how did this young girl get this older guy to even want to pay attention to her and to hold on to him for 3 years? And I did it. He liked me. He wasn't about anything else. And I literally, he created a certain standard and made me realize, like, I find you beautiful. You are beautiful. Like, and took me out and showed me different things. And I developed a confidence through dating him, because I kind of felt like accepted by guys at this point. So I talk about losing my virginity to him, because I felt like that's what I had to do to get him.
Were you ready, or you just do it because you got to get it to get him?
I did it because I felt like I wanted him to like me.
Yeah.
So it was no preparation, mentally not ready, physically definitely not ready. But I wanted him to like me. I wanted him to accept me. I wanted to be the girl in his arms. So I felt like that's what I needed to do.
The lesson: confidence is not something that blooms overnight. It takes time to develop. Leah had his chain, and she wasn't trying to give it back either. Then it happened. She knew nothing. She, in fact, had to call him for confirmation. This was the beginning of her womanhood.
I knew nothing. In the book, I talk about my friend who I called after it happened. She came to meet me, and she was like, "Oh my God! So, like, did he use a condom? Did he come? Did, like, are you like, you could be pregnant right now?" And I was just like, "No, wait a minute! Like, I think he used a condom. Like, what happens when he comes?" I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I was 15, and I like literally had to call him for confirmation.
Right.
And he was like, "What?" And he was like, "First of all, I hear your friend talking in the background. So let me tell you this about being a young lady. You don't tell your friends your business." And like, he checked me, and I was like, "Okay, lesson learned. What's next?" But I literally, like, I was very naive to all of that. But I knew that I had a thing for older guys, and I knew that older guys wanted something. And I felt like in order for him to like me, I needed to give him that something.
Temptations and insecurities. Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. "Or do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?"
Change. Because someone has seen you in a different light than anyone else has. You have never been intimately with someone who has seen you with your clothes off. And even if you were that girl who was like, "I'm gonna leave my shirt on," someone did something to you that you have never experienced before. And now you know what that's like. So now that you know what living in the flesh is and experiencing and living through these temptations, what do you think? How do you feel about yourself? So many more questions come with that. And honestly, I feel like a lot of girls jump out to do it and walk away with more insecurities than you did when you entered that bedroom. Mm-hmm. Because now it's like, can anybody else tell? Does anybody else know that I did this? Am I different? I remember even the gap test, with like feeling like you have a gap in between your legs. And when I was at home, I would be like walking with my thighs pressed together so hard, because I thought like, "Oh, I have a gap now." There was no gap. But I just like, my sister's gonna know, my mother's gonna know. I didn't want anyone to know. But I felt the need to confide in my friends about it, because I felt like I needed that validation from them. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want girls to know that in that moment, in that short span of time, your life literally changes.
Right.
And
self-inflicted pressure, that's what us women tend to give up. In the case of her circle of friends, they choose to give up their V-card early. I mean, that was really early. She was the last woman standing. By all means, 15 is not a late bloomer.
Sadly, all my friends were already experienced at 15, 14, 13. All my circle of friends had already been there. So I literally remember my friends coming to my house one morning, and I wasn't ready for school yet, but we would all walk to school together, and my mom was doing my hair. And she like did two ponytails and she like pinned them up on the side. And my cousin was saying to my friend, like, she's such a baby, like my aunt still does her hair. And that day on, I was like, Ma, you gotta stop doing my hair. Like, I need to do my hair on my own. And she's like, okay, but you don't even know how to do your hair. Like, try it. And maybe my mom probably coddled me for too long, and they were just out and ready for the world. None of them grew up in the same type of household that I grew up in. So I definitely like was a late bloomer and doing things on my own and getting out there and making it happen.
The lesson: a girl's virginity is her most sacred possession. There's no rush.
Absolutely, positively, no pressure from him. He was not somebody I was dating. He was a guy I had a crush on. He was not paying me any attention.
Wow.
And in the book, I talk about like being hanging out at the basketball court with guy friends that I had, and I had his chain. He like was playing ball, so he told me to hold his chain. I purposely left the basketball court with my best friend so that way he would have to look for me to get his chain back. And then finally, he told me, oh, bring the chain to my house. And I was like, all right, I'm here. I'm about to show him. What you about to show him, girl? You have nothing to show this man. Because literally, he was a man. He was 20 years old. And, you know, it happened. But he was so good about it. Like, that after that, it was like, so you're my girl. And he literally walked me into the start of womanhood. And I couldn't have chosen a better person to like be there to lose my virginity to, because it wasn't like, all right, that happened, bye. It was more like, so this is what happens next. And he wanted to be a part of that chapter. And I really appreciate that.
Leah didn't have the sex talk. Scaring Leah straight was the scare tactic used by her mom.
No, my mom was very nervous to have this talk with me. It was dad's job. And I think it was more so a dad's job because dad instilled a certain level of fear. And my mother kind of wanted to scare me straight as opposed to making me comfortable and saying, so this is kind of what's going to happen when you do it. And my mom literally did not have the talk with me until I was about to leave for college, which is way too late.
Right.
And when she did talk to me about it, she said, hey, so I think we should go to the doctor and get you on birth control before you go to school. And I was like, but I'm not having sex. Who am I going to have sex with? I don't even know the people there. That was August, September. I had a boyfriend. So, you know, but, and she left it as that. She left it alone. So then naturally dad picked up the next subject and was like, so listen, if you do go to school and you do meet someone and you do get pregnant, you need to know that we're here for you.
The lesson: are they worth it?
Be like, this is yours. This is yours. Don't let anybody take this from you. You hold tight to that, because down the line, it's like, what did I do?
Right.
And why?
You never forget your first.
Mm-mm. And to be honest, the gentleman that...
Leah and her parents never discussed heartbreak until heartbreak happened.
Exactly. It was like, I literally experienced it. And then they were there to say like, oh, we'll help you pick up the pieces. But it never was a talk about it beforehand.
Right.
I remember when me and the guy that I lost my virginity to broke up, I remember being in my room and crying. And my dad came in and was like, it's wrong. And I was like, oh, I'm just having problems with Arvell. And my dad was like, well, I'm going to give you some advice. Take it or you leave it. But I'll tell you this. Don't do anything with him to feel like you have to keep him around. This was year 3, Dad. It already happened. I feel like you have to live and you have to have the experience. I feel like having the talk is cool and bringing it to light. But I don't feel like it will stop someone from doing anything. Like, my parents could have talked to me, but I don't think it would have controlled the actions of the first guy who broke my heart.
The lesson: don't chase boys, chase dreams. She made the mistake, and you know what? She's telling you how you could avoid it.
It's so good because my younger sister now goes to Lincoln University, and I just put up a post, and I was like, I want to call her little me, but she's doing this college thing so much better than I did. And my sister's like, you talk to me about all of this. Like, I already, my sister did not have to worry about going to college and having her first drunken night. Baby, you had that first drunken night before you got on that campus. Me and my friends took her out, and we just kept passing her drink after drink after drink. Because you know what? Let me hold your hair while you're over the toilet. Because your friends are going to do it, but they may talk about you later. And if you end up somewhere that you're not supposed to be, you don't, your friends don't, are not conscious enough to be like, let me walk with you to this guy's room. Or to say, no, don't even go over there because you had too much to drink. So I wanted her to experience that before she even got to school. And even with my sister under me, while I was in school, she was in high school. Before she left for Howard, she came to Lincoln and I made sure, let's get this experience quick because I don't want to preach to you. I just want you to live it yourself. I want you to be able to say, I did that.
The lesson.
I really, really feel like when people constantly tell a child or tell a young girl, don't, and you don't tell them why, they only want to try it because they want to see why.
Leah grew up in the housing projects. In this next clip, this is the fault line for her college experience.
But I think that I was scared because at home, I never had to worry about anything. I grew up in housing projects my whole life, and I never had to worry about anything.
Why? Like, explain to me why you never
had. Everyone respected my father. Okay. My father's been in the streets since he was 14. No one would ever violate my family. My mother was involved in, my parents both were involved in the community so much that everybody loved them. So even today, if I decided at 4 a.m. I wanted to walk through those projects, I feel the safest I've ever felt there.
Campus life and the housing projects. In this next clip, Leah's going to draw the similarities between them both.
Lincoln University is tough. It's not like a Howard or a Hampton. It's really tough. And
tough in what sense? Like,
and once it was, for me, Lincoln was no different than where I grew up at.
Oh. Okay.
It was no, and especially when I went there, we didn't have a football team. We had a track team. We didn't have our basketball team was D3. The activities just weren't there. So people hung out. When you hung out, I mean, at that time, it wasn't a alcohol-free zone. So you literally had people that just hung out on the yard and smoked and drank and played dice. That was no different from what I saw in the projects. Mm. So what I knew in the projects, people survive by holding their own and being tough. So when I got to school, that's exactly who I decided to become.
She's not that girl. It's been a journey of finding herself. Leah had to reconcile the girl she pretended to be with the girl that she is now. In 2017.
I wish that people would have had the opportunity to see me for who I truly am. I think even still today, when I was at homecoming, there were people who followed me on social media and saw me and wanted to be like, hey, and come over and talk to me, because definitely who they see on social media now is not who they knew at Lincoln. But it was almost like people were very hesitant. Because they're like, maybe that's a facade of who she is today. Maybe her attitude is still the same. And I found myself being like, how you doing? Because, again, I needed to be like, how many years ago is that? I'm not that girl. Like, I'm cool. But had you been who you were 10 years, 12 years later, you don't have to prove yourself. And that's what I want girls to understand. Always stand firm in who you are. Because you will find yourself later trying to make up for that person that you pretended to be. Nothing. My friend from high school, Jonelle, who was Young Harlem on the radio show, he was there a year before me. And he had his own show and it was just him. But when I got to the school, he wanted to add me on as a host. And oddly, he wanted to add me on as a host because I was popular, but I was popular for all the wrong reasons. People just, they didn't like me. I literally like, and one thing I constantly tell to girls is like, when you go away to college and you're away from home, you reinvent yourself. You can become whoever you want to be. If you was promiscuous in high school, you can go to college and be like, oh, I just go to church. And I don't, you can become whoever you want to be. And Leah decided to be a tough girl. Nobody can say nothing to me. I'm straight from Brooklyn. What's the problem? You got something to say? I had an attitude.
The lesson, be true to yourself. If you think you're cute, stick to that story. Girls are often ashamed of that. You know, we're embarrassed because we're too pretty. We dumb down our look because, you know, we think we're getting too much attention. Who cares? Self-esteem versus arrogance. Girls and women struggle with being true to themselves from the formative years, whether they're in a group setting, in their clique, in their posse, straight up really to your adult life. Whether it's you're on a date, whether you're giving a presentation, whether you're just trying to be one of the boys.
I think in college, the fight was ultimately the breaking point for me. I definitely was like, it's that the fight wasn't, I have an audio trailer that, not a, a visual trailer that we shot. And then the trailer, I quote something from the book, and it's just like, this wasn't any fight. Like, every punch and every blow was like with hatred.
Right.
And I never understood how I got to a point where I made people hate me. And for me, it was like, I don't want y'all to hate me. Like, I don't hate the girls that I got into that situation with. And I feel like if I was to see them, it would more so be like, hey, like, how have you been? But I don't even know that they would react the same way towards me. Yeah. It definitely was a wake-up call. And I changed a lot after that fight. I definitely, like, was more to my, just me and, you know, one of my friends, and we hung out, and I had my boyfriend, and we kind of stuck it out and dealt with each other. But I definitely, like, I didn't do the radio anymore. I dropped out of the fashion club. I left that alone because I felt like on each of those things, I had a persona that I had to uphold. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to be that other person. And there comes a chapter when I get into a physical altercation and I'm jumped by a couple of girls. And it wasn't until I got in front of the mirror and I see myself with my, I can tell that I'm going to have two black eyes. My nose is bust. My lips are bust. My hair is completely gone because I had, you remember the corn braids? Everybody used to wear like the thin corn braids and they would go really long to one side. Well, mine were obnoxiously long. I would wear them all the way down to my butt. And initially when the girls came to fight me, I like put on a headscarf and a do-rag and I covered my hair up. But once that came off, once you pull one braid, the whole thing comes out. And by the end of the fight, I literally had the opposite of a mohawk. I had nothing in the middle and just a little bit on the sides. And it wasn't until, and that was my junior year, it wasn't until I got in front of the mirror and I saw myself like that, that I was like, who are you? And who have you become? And why did you feel that you needed to be that person here for these people?
Right.
It's just the image and the persona that I created.
The fight. She looked like she can fight. Leah gives us the background that we need to understand her thought process as it led up to the blow by blow, the actual blow by blow, and how she was tested.
It was initially, it was just one girl. And she was the girl that you probably never want to have an issue with ever. You ever seen somebody and you're like, she looked like she could fight and I don't want no problems with her?
Right.
That was her.
Okay.
Right. That was her. Okay. So I knew that going into this. Never had a problem with her. But my boyfriend at the time got another girl at school pregnant. He cheated on me and got the girl pregnant. The girl was friends with her. So, and her defending her friend being pregnant by my boyfriend,
right.
She came to my room and I was about to go take a shower. So I had on just a robe and nothing under it. And she said, go put some clothes on. I want to fight. And I was like, you got about 2 minutes to talk yourself out of this. And I was like, what? Like, me and you don't have problems. What you want to fight me for? Like, what happened? She was like, you think you're cute. And you're not. I'm about to show you that you're not cute. And I'm thinking to myself, but I am cute. Because I done discovered that self. I found that self. I got over those insecurities I had in the past. So now I'm like, no, but I am. And she kept stroking, hitting a spot for me. And it was just like, no, I'm letting her. I felt like she was testing me. She was like really like pulling my card. And I was like, it got to a point where she was like, if you don't come downstairs now, when you go to class, I'll catch you and beat you up. Or if you go to dinner, I'll catch you and beat you up. So you might as well get it over with now. So I went. It was about 30 girls outside. So it would get around very quickly because it was about 30 girls waiting outside. And all of them didn't fight, but they were all there to be sure, like, it went down.
I'm a firm believer in anti-bullying. And let me tell you, bullying is an evergreen moment, right? You never forget it. Thankfully, I was never a victim of bullying or have a story to tell, but my story to tell about that is protecting people that were bullied. So blowing out someone's candle doesn't really make yours brighter. And I want you to remember that.
I am glad that that fight didn't occur today, because today that would be a YouTube fight or something you would see on Facebook. Like, you know, when you're scrolling through Facebook, you constantly see these fights and it's very difficult for me to watch. And not because I live that, but because it's just so brutal. And it's like, why do you want to hurt somebody so bad that it becomes, and then why do you get satisfaction and you need to record this for the world to see someone? Like, I don't know, you heard about that time where the girls fought at McDonald's.
What happened?
Did you ever hear about a fight that happened in McDonald's in New York? It was a all-out brawl where about six girls jumped one girl to the point where she was knocked unconscious. And a man was in McDonald's and he tried to break it up. And all the teens watching started jumping this man.
What?
But, I mean, they pulled all her hair extensions out. And it reminded me so much of me. The next day, you girls are on the cover of the newspaper and it's like they're searching for you all over New York because they want to find out who these girls are so you can go to jail. And each day, a different girl was caught. And it's like, here she is, 15. She already has a record. She's been here and there. And it was bad. And I'm like, I thank God that that fight wasn't in this day, because that's exactly what it would have been. It would have been a bunch of people recording to see that happen to me.
The pictures are a reminder of losing herself. To this day, it hurts Leah when she sees those pictures. The death of her girlfriend put things in perspective. And you know what? She's still forgiving of the person who did this to her.
When I came home, my parents like took pictures of me because my mother was like, you're not going back to that school and we're pressing charges. So like when my eyes were black and my nose was swollen, my mom was like taking pictures. She took pictures of my hair. And I still have those pictures because it's a reminder of me losing myself at some point.
Are you willing to share those pictures?
Absolutely not.
I was just curious.
I can ask my mother for them.
I mean.
But I still have them.
That's kind of the liberating, like, letting go.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I wanted to include photos in this book.
Right.
Like, after chapters, because I talk about, like, girls' trips we took, and I wanted to show them that this is real. Like, here we are talking about this trip to London. I wanted to, like, we didn't make these stories up. These actually happened. But it didn't work out where I was able to put pictures in the book. And I couldn't show the picture of the fight because I couldn't get over Sammy with no hair.
Right, right.
And that was the hardest part for me.
And is it still hard for you to this day?
Absolutely. Literally, my stomach gets very weak when I see the pictures, or, like, it's hard to look at them. Seeing myself with a black eye was okay. I could deal with that. But I think it was seeing no hair. And I looked at the pictures a couple of weeks ago. Last year, I had a friend who passed away from breast cancer. And when she passed away, when I went to visit her, her skin had was so much darker. She's a brown skin girl, but she really was dark. Mm-hmm. And she had lost all her hair. And I was saying to my mother, when I looked at that picture, that's how it made me feel. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I looked sick. Like, I felt like what? It was just too much, too much. It's hard to look at the pictures.
Who is that mean girl?
The main girl that I was fighting was from Chester, Pennsylvania. She had was on probation and was in college to keep her from going to jail. And my dean had a heart-to-heart talk with me because I worked in the dean's office when I was in school. And my dean, me and him were very close, and he really, really took a liking to me. And he was like, listen, this girl is here on probation. You can press charges on her, and they will pick her up, and she will be arrested, and you will never have to worry about her again. And I said no.
Why? It's not your battle? Is that how you feel? Like something the universe will, or karma?
I just felt like I don't want, she had the opportunity to come to school and better herself. The aggression and the fighting, that's what she knew. That came second nature to her. That didn't come second nature to me.
You didn't ask for that.
But I think I did. I think I did.
The mean girl. So where is she?
I tried to find her. I couldn't find her.
What was your goal? What was your end goal with that? So what if you did find her, and what?
I don't think that I would ever reach out to her, but I just wanted to know whatever happened to her.
Hmm.
After 10 years and being away from school, and I can still keep up with so many people via social media, and it was this girl just vanished. I never knew what happened to her. So I just always wonder, was she okay? Did she find growth? Is she still that same person? Because for me, I know that I'm 100% not who I was then.
College relationships. She knew. This was her first experience of lemonade. It's better to be single with high standards than in a relationship settling for less.
But in college, that had to hurt, knowing that your boyfriend impregnated somebody else.
Yeah, I think it bothered me. I think by the time I knew for a while that he had started messing with her, I didn't want to let go of the situation. I was hoping he would be I'm gonna not deal with her and just be solely deal with you. But I think by the time I found out she was pregnant, it was easy for me to accept because I already knew in the back of my mind that something was going on with them.
Right.
Yeah, we had a job that we worked one summer. We both worked it together. And I had a missed call from a DC number. And when I called back, she was on the answering machine, but I knew her from school. So I was we never know what she's calling for. And finally, when I got in touch with her, she was like, oh, I didn't call you. He called you. And I was like, no, he's sick. Why would he use your phone to call me? He didn't come to work today. And she's like, he could explain it to you, but we were upstate together today. And I was like, oh, okay. So.
Yeah.
So right.
That's a lot to deal with, especially when you're in school.
And it shouldn't even be the focus.
And it shouldn't be the focus. And that's
at all.
And that is the message.
So what does this book mean to you, Leah?
It's just been a very freeing experience. I feel like there's a lot of things that have occurred in my life that I've held on to and didn't really realize how much I was holding on to it. People that I've been in altercations with, or guys that have done things to me to break my heart, and I pretend like it's nothing and I'm over it. And I talk to my friends and I'm like, oh, you know, my friends would be angry. And I'm like, it happens. But it wasn't until I like literally touched the first copy and I sat down and I read it. And I was just like, okay, so this is all past. Like, if I literally throw the book, it's behind you. It's behind you now. Let it go. Stop living in that.
So the book was your therapy? I think I asked you earlier.
It was very, very therapeutic.
Who are you protecting to keep your story quiet? Champagne, Dreams, Beer, and Money is an assortment of chocolate candy girl experiences about love, sex, relationship, self-esteem, to being a grown-ass woman. But there's more. There's a lot more, which I couldn't even cover. But Leah has many more stories of her girl mistakes to make sure, you know what? To prove that life will occur and how you could avoid the same mistakes that she did.
To be honest, I think the most embarrassing thing was that eventually I had to tell it. Eventually somebody knows. I kept these truths quiet. They're not secrets. They're my, this is my truth. And I kept my truth quiet. I kept it quiet that in college I got pregnant. I kept it quiet that I lost my virginity at a young age. And for me, it was very, very embarrassing for me to have that conversation with my sister, or have that conversation with my mother and father. And while I stand firmly and I know who I am today, and I'm okay with sharing it with the world, it was very difficult for me to get to this point. It took me 4 years to get the strength to just put the book out.
So your journey to get the book out, like before you, even the book, did you have a best friend to share these stories with, or you really kept these to yourself all this time until you revealed it to your parents?
No, my best friends, like even immediately after I lost my virginity, and the book, I tell you that I like told my friend Inez, but my friends, it was more validation. I wanted them to accept me. I'm like you now. I did what you did. But for what? Why do I need to show you that I'm like you? It's not necessary. It's not necessary to prove yourself or to be validated by anyone, because they too are sitting there just like you and not feeling confident to be able to tell this, or feeling like, why did I do it?
Not making the same mistakes or making less of them is a common theme throughout the book. And this is what Leah is trying to accomplish. What do you want people to take away from your book?
But the ultimate goal is to just give these girls an outlet and make them feel and know that there's a big sister, someone that you probably don't feel like you can go to face to face. After every chapter, there is a page for a journal entry, and I give them some motivational quotes. But I want them to be able to find their own truth within those pages, you know?
Once the past has taught you everything you need to know, take a deep breath and just let it go. Be prepared to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally cray-cray. I'm going to expose all your insecurities, and my goal is to talk about those insecurities as you take a journey through that uncharted girl territory. This not only helps me, but especially you better understand and appreciate the embarrassing, the good and bad choices that we make as women and that we go through on a regular basis. Keeping it 100 means Nina keeps it real, she keeps it true.
Nina keeps it real and true. She keeps it 100, girl. That's right. Think of her as your go-to girlfriend. No filters, real girlfriend advice.
You're going to hear always inspiring stories of women in dramatic situations who are unapologetically not only funny, but themselves, with real emotional moments that are surprising and fun. But remember, I talk to you guys like I talk to my own girlfriends about failures, successes, and more importantly, those aha moments. So was this episode good for you, people, girlfriend? I want you to say, oh my God, that was so me. I want you to laugh. I want you to tell your other girlfriends about these relatable experiences. And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girl Show. Episodes drop every Tuesday and alternate Thursday and Friday. You can connect with me on social. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the Keep It 100 Girl page. You're going to use the handle at Nina Babel. And that's Nina, NinaBabel. That's babe with an L. If you're looking to spoil your date within your financial means this Valentine's Day and finding out those little nuggets of things that she likes by developing a splurge plan, so you have 12 days left to figure it out. If you want to know more about this splurge plan, visit bit.ly/splurgeher, all lowercase, to join the wait list. Yes, you heard right. If you are a frugal, or what I like to call a money-savvy guy, but look, you want to wow her while you're dating her, especially leading up to Valentine's, I got some tips for you. But again, visit bit.ly/lowercase/splurgeher. Well, that's going to be my reel for today. You know I keep it 100. I keep it real. I keep it true. In the meantime, smooches!